Halloween is over, and it's now time for the spookiest time of the year, the time of endless Mariah Carey songs, of constant family pressure, of a nearly doubled suicide rate, of creepy old men breaking into your house, and of all those people saying that you can't celebrate your holiday, but must celebrate their own holiday. That's right, it's the holiday season. Ooh, so scary. And to celebrate this scary time of year, we at the Paleobites Patreon are discussing the scariest dinosaur movie of all time, Corpse Bride. Now, how is that a dinosaur movie, you might ask? Well, it is about a fossil, is it not? Like the mummified Borealpelta corpse that we found. It's basically that, but Tim Burton, and stop motion, and spooky. I think it counts. Anyways, link is in the description for you can get this bonus Paleobites Patreon content. Thank you for your support and have a spooky day.
Roar, growl, snarl, bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that, like a predator trap tar pit, sucks. My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by someone who just threw a ball for the dog of my parents' house that I'm house-sitting at. It's Natasha Crack. How are you?
Oh, doing well. I mean, he is being very friendly.
He is. Oh,
he did offer the ball.
Henry loves so many people. He loves my girlfriend. He's so friendly. He's very, very
friendly. He's a very sweet puppy.
Indeed he is. But yeah, trucking school, that's pretty cool, right? Like you said, as of this recording.
As of this recording, I have gotten through the first week of behind the wheel training.
Yeah.
I will be honest, there is a lot to learn.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The tractor does one thing, the trailer does another.
Yes.
If there are any truckers who are listening, they will probably know exactly what I'm talking about and get a laugh, because right now I am making the beginner mistakes.
Yes, oh, but you have to make those beginner mistakes
in
order to go forward, you know? No one goes through without making beginner mistakes, and that's true of any industry
and
or any job.
In particular, what I was told by one of the truckers at my current job is, the reality is I won't know anything until I'm 2 years in.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because,
and so
again,
now one
so
day in.
Much to it. The amount of detail we pay attention to with the pre-trip alone before the thing even hits the public streets.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to pay attention to everything.
That's
because it's 80,000 pounds
absolutely.
Of movement.
80,000 pounds. That could fit. Maybe the biggest dinosaur you could probably fit in would be like a Camarasaur.
Ah, that would be fun.
But would it be more efficient, I wonder, to fit one Camarasaurus or like a bunch of smaller dinosaurs? What would be
how
more?
How much havoc are we wreaking, and where?
Okay, let's just assume you're delivering for someone's Ohio-based Jurassic Park. So
I suppose I would have to ask an industry expert.
Yeah,
to be
so it's like, what would be more efficient? You carrying one Camarasaurus or like five Triceratops?
Well, from what little I do know at this moment, livestock transport is its own deal.
Oh, absolutely.
And so the dinosaurs would fall under livestock.
They would indeed. Although I feel like Triceratops, I don't know if you could fit five Triceratops. Not because of weights, but because of size.
There you go, size too.
Like, they're a bit broad. So, I mean, like, according to Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, they fit a bunch of them in trucks. But again, they only had to drive.
Yeah, but it's Hollywood.
It's Hollywood. Also, to be fair, I think they were only driving them from, like, the harbor to the house that was like right there.
That's fair.
So, because they had a bunch, including like they had a Brachiosaurus and a Apatosaurus and other stuff. And I'm like, how'd you fit that in a truck? The T-Rex I get, particularly if it's laying down. Like,
I mean, it would really depend on the trailer that they had.
Yeah. Okay. So, how long is the average trailer?
53 feet.
Okay. So, they're about a Apatosaurus, which you definitely see. Not transported, but you see it later on in the mansion. That's 70 feet. So it would have to be not only laying down, but curled up.
No, you would have to get an oversized load permit.
Oh, you can get ones that are bigger than 50 feet.
Your average trailer on the road is about 53 feet.
But again, I guess it's not like they're
But there are permits for oversized loads. You see that with the wind turbines.
Mm-hmm.
When they transport the blades, you see that with mining stuff. You see it with
Oh, that's right. I have seen the wind turbines. And the wind, and just one turbine is enormous.
Yeah.
Like.
Yep. And you always see them flagged with oversized load.
Oversized load, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. Speaking of not oversized load, very small load indeed. Makes it sound like it's about to poop. But we're talking about an interesting little critter that as soon as I found out about it, I thought, oh, this might be interesting to talk about because it's like, imagine like a salamander frog thing, but with the sail of a Dimetrodon.
Sounds pretty interesting.
Sounds like a one platyhistrix, or flat porcupine is what it means.
Ah.
Even though it's definitely not a porcupine, and not flat, so I don't know what it...
We'll what... chalk it up to bored scientists. How's that?
Type it as a temnospondyl, a group of tetrapods classified technically as early amphibians, but are not in the surviving group of amphibians.
Ah.
Sized 3 to 3.3 feet / 0.8 to 1 meters long. It was a carnivore. It lived in the late Carboniferous to early Permian, 299 to 279 million years ago. It was found in good old Texas, right there with the Acrocanthosaurus or other things like that. I don't know. Described in 1910. Pop culture appearances, the prehistoric-themed massive multiplayer online game Path of Titans has one.
Oh, interesting.
And for the life of me, I can't find one anywhere else, so good on you, Path of Titans.
It's cool that more and more video games are including more and more obscure species.
Oh, absolutely. Well, like, I love all these more of these obscure species used in, like, various things. Like, some people are complaining, like, in the new Jurassic World, do you ever see Jurassic World Dominion?
I have not yet, but then again, I've been really busy with life.
That's okay. Totally fair. But there's actually, rather than the Velociraptors, there's two other types of raptors.
Ah.
Like, these ones called the Trossoraptors, which I have talked about before on the show, which is a badass-sounding name, a Trossoraptors. They have a big action sequence in Malta.
Nice.
Where Owen's riding his motorcycle away from them as they're like used as attack animals on him. And some people are complaining like, oh, they're just the Velociraptors again. Why don't they use like the Isla Sorna Velociraptors and bring them back? It's like, oh, it's because it's introducing a new species. And also, to be fair, they look a little different. They have much boxier heads.
Ah.
And then the Pyroraptor, which is later, has a feathery covering.
Oh, wow. They did that?
Oh, yeah, they did. There's some that like, they actually just explained that like, so the engine dinosaurs are hybridized, and they're the ones that look more reptile-like. Well, they splice the genomes to make them look different, but the Biosyn ones are more pure. And so the Pyroraptor has feathers. There's a Therizinosaurus that plays a big role, and it has feathers.
Oh, wow.
So I need to show you at some point, at the beginning of the movie, at least the extended version, a.k.a. the true version, because it's what the director wanted, it opens up with a prologue that actually takes place in the Cretaceous.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a flashback. And it shows a T-Rex up in it, back in its heyday. And it's clearly a Jurassic Park T-Rex. Like, it makes the same roar and other stuff. But it also has feathers.
Oh!
And
somebody got gutsy then.
Yeah. And then you see a mosquito bite it and then fly off. So it's like, oh, it's implying that this is, like, where the genome from the Jurassic Park T-Rex came from.
Ah, so it sets up our fictional universe.
Oh, absolutely. This is a brilliant way to start a Jurassic Park movie that they've never done yet. So
nice.
Anyways. Let's see. The idea of a sail made of lengthened dorsal vertebrae is a common reoccurring element in evolution. The classic examples are, of course, Spinosaurus and a lot of its relatives, Permian synapsid Dimetrodon, the other Permian synapsid Dilophosaurus, the African ornithopod, a Iguanodon-like dinosaur Oranosaurus, and some other ones like Acrocanthosaurus. What all these have in common is that they belong to partially warm-blooded creatures, though, with the sails helping regulate body heat and transporting warm blood from one part of the body to the caudal parts of the body elsewhere. I mean, I guess there's a few examples. Like, there's that are also cold-blooded. Like, you ever heard of Arizonasuchus? Or is it Arizonasuchus or Arizonasaurus? Hold on, let me check. I should actually check.
And I know these days, in modern times, we don't see a lot of sail-backed creatures.
Okay, It's Arizonasaurus, my apologies. But it is a Triassic crocodilian.
Frightening.
Yeah. One of those land crocodilians.
It's incredible that none of those managed to make it.
Oh, the land crocodiles actually made it quite a while. The Notosuchians lasted
incredible
all
that they didn't make it to the modern era, though.
Some of them came close.
Oh, yeah, a few of them did.
Some of them, like, there's actually one, the last running crocodile that galloped like a zebra or whatever,
uh-huh,
was so recent, the original Aborigines I guess that's kind of redundant. The Aborigine people of Australia. The first Aborigine people had to deal with them.
That is actually frightening.
Yeah, so...
But of course, it's Australia.
Of course it's Australia. Where else would it be?
North America? Florida? Florida's crazy.
I mean,
enough.
Those were everywhere. Well, like, there's a thing called Notosuchids that I would love to do an episode before. There were these running crocodiles that, like...
Florida, come on.
Yeah.
The crazy people, why not a crazy running crocodile?
Yeah. I actually have an idea. If I ever go back to Megazoic, I'd have some of these guys, because these lasted all the way, all throughout the Mesozoic, including the Cretaceous. And some of them really could run.
Fun.
And since in the world of my Megazoic books, the only qualifier for if you're sentient is, are you a dinosaur? But if you're not, you're not sentient. I could imagine some smaller dinosaurs riding these guys.
That could be cool.
And they could be like the wargs in Lord of the Rings.
That could be fun.
They run, they attack. Especially like if I go back to... Because like I would use these more in like a prequel to Megazoic where like the technology isn't quite as advanced.
Okay, so more like a medieval period.
Yeah, medieval. Or maybe more like Renaissance. Ah. Like colonial Europe, kind of. Except... I imagine for some reason, like, was it like, remember when you drew the head of the Laurasia Corps? I made him look old timey.
Yes.
And I specified he had a laser musket. So yes. They have muskets, but they're laser. I don't know. I didn't think that far ahead. So.
Yeah, they were still fun to design.
Yeah. So in that time period, kind of.
Okay.
So that's where it would take place, I think. And I would have these guys. Anyways, that's nothing to do with Platyhistrix.
Colonial era.
The colonial era of Megazoic, hopefully without a lot of the darker parts of human colonialism.
Hopefully.
Man. So if you don't generate much body heat, a sail would be pretty much useless because like if you use the sail to generate the heat, or you don't generate to get the heat, and you can't really distribute it that well, the sail's kind of useless then, right?
That's where I would ask a biologist.
Because like
I know that a lot of reptiles bask in the sunlight.
That's true.
And it helps with their blood circulation.
Well, and also, to be fair, this could be some sort of thing where it's like it wasn't quite cold-blooded, not entirely. Like, everything in biology, there's no binary. Like,
yeah.
Not even just people, like, the big political thing of that is gender, of course, that's going now, or sex, but one or the other, two different things. But also, not everything is fully warm-blooded or fully cold-blooded. Even
yes,
among
and I know that is still a debate with the paleontologists, is whether or not dinosaurs were warm-blooded, cold-blooded, or something else altogether.
The current understanding is that most of them are mesothermic, which is in between. So therefore, like a big dinosaur wouldn't overheat from its sheer gigantothermy, but it also wouldn't require so much food that in order to survive, more than it could actually handle to eat, but it also wouldn't be so sluggish that it couldn't stand itself up.
That's fair.
So
it could be the same with these creatures.
Well, exactly. And also, in terms of, like, animals, like, within this, like, take mammals. Mammals, you hear, are warm-blooded, right?
Correct.
But there's actually, even within the group, there's variants. Sloths are much less warm-blooded than other mammals, which is part of the reason why they're so slow.
Ah.
And also, part of the reason why... So I've said on the show before with the giant ground sloths, a lot of times people depict them with fur, right?
Correct.
Even though... Normally, for a mammal that big in a tropical area, a big coat of fur would make a lot of sense.
Not really.
Like seeing a mammoth in the savannah rather than in the snow. So a lot of people are like, oh, were they hairless like elephants? Which is kind of a gross image. But fear not, because it turns out if they were actually that still a kind of cold-blooded-esque, kind of sluggish sort of thing, they would need the fur still.
That makes sense.
So yeah, they could still be furry. But conversely, mammals like shrews... are hyper warm-blooded to the point where they have a metabolism so high they don't eat food every 2 hours, they'll die.
I mean, that sounds also a lot like hummingbirds.
Oh yeah, hummingbirds are the same way. I'm trying to think of some slightly more cold-blooded birds, though.
Like
maybe some flightless ones, I presume, because warm-blooded, I mean, flying requires a lot of...
It does, it requires a lot of energy.
A lot of energy that a cold-blooded animal probably just couldn't do. So perhaps the Platyhistrix had some early form of warm-bloodedness, maybe some type of mesothermy we believe most of the dinosaurs had. Or maybe the sail just warmed up to some and distributed the normal way and nothing to do with warm or cold blood, and I'm just a doofus. Point is, though, in terms of its environment, it's believed the Platyhistrix, even though it was a carnivore, it was preyed upon by larger temnospondyl amphibians, such as, this one I've always had trouble with, Aryops. It's just six letters, but it's very confusingly put together. Aryops. Eryops. Or Prionosuchus. That one I know, but like that one just has a cool name. Some of the tones have some awesome sounding names. There's one called Mastodonsaurus. There's one called like Cyclotosaurus. There's one called Xenotosuchus.
I swear, these scientists have fun with their names.
Oh, there's some names that are so fun. And there are some names that are utter horseshit. Like, did you see, as of recording this episode, but not since, obviously, it comes out, the most recent episode, look at what it's called. Erectopus.
Okay, who got drunk? Who got drunk and named a dinosaur, and why did everyone else agree to this?
I mean, like, it's like, oh, it means upright foot. I'm like, no, it means penis and vagina. Erectopus.
Somebody didn't think this through.
No, it's sort of like the penguin that's really big, and someone like, oh, it's like a penguin the size of a man. We'll call it the man bird. And then the Greek for man is anthropo, and the Greek for bird is ornis. Put together, what he gets? Anthropornis.
Yeah, that wasn't well thought through either. Now,
actually,
was
when
it?
I did, because I did an episode on that creature. When I did that, I looked up when the term porn was first used and when the animal was described. Like, should they have known better? Turns out that maybe not, because it came out of time. Well, porn itself was not the shortened form. Pornography was used. So I don't know. Anyways, on that lovely note, let's write Platyhistrix 1 out of 65 million. Yeah, look at it extensively here.
Study it. It's an interesting creature.
Yeah.
One look at it would put it right next to Dimetrodon.
Right, but
in the same family.
Well, except Dimetrodon's a synapsid. It's a mammal relative. This is an amphibian, so nowhere
very
close,
similar
actually.
Look without...
Very similar look. It's convergent evolution, sort of.
Fun. Convergent evolution.
Always a fun thing to see. I'm probably going to rate like a 25 or 26 million, because it's got like a gimmick, but like...
Yeah, it's got a gimmick.
Which I guess is a cool gimmick, but it's also not a unique gimmick. Although I guess it's unique for amphibians.
Amphibians, yeah, because I don't think there's any modern amphibians with that gimmick.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you actually don't really see anything other than reptiles usually with that gimmick. Can you imagine a mammal with a sail? Like,
that would be a very odd gimmick for a mammal.
Right. Although, wait, hold on. Aren't there some antelope that have kind of like ridges?
A ridge is different than a full-blown sail.
Right, okay.
Ridges happen way more common.
Also, I might just be thinking of a made-up one from the book After Man, a Zoology of the Future. Hold
yeah,
on.
That'll be. I mean, if anything, it looks like maybe something that would have come out of a medieval bestiary.
Oh, I could see that. And here we have the Platyhistrix.
Oh, they'd come up with a more creative name than that in the Middle Ages.
What would they
probably call it? Some sort of dragon.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Everything was a dragon. And plus, it was a frog, so it's already, like, devilish.
Oh, know? Definitely.
So this is a witch's animal for sure.
Definitely.
That's like, oh, a raven's egg, an eyeball of a Platyhistrix. I've said this before on the show, probably, but I've definitely said this in real life. When I get old, since I've already realized that with the way my fathers have with their backs and the way I sit, I'm going to have back problems in the future.
Oh.
So I'm going to be an old man with like a hunchback or something. So I thought, what if I just lean into it and be like a troll man?
That's funny.
And just be like, and all the kids would run away in fear. I'd be in a robe that would just be covered in bird poop from all my birds that I have. And I just have a staff and I'd be like,
hey, it's all right.
And then my girlfriend, since she's Slavic, she'd be a Baba Yaga type figure. It's like, what do we put in the cauldron today? good stuff. All right, so I rate it 26 million. What are you going to rate it?
You know, I'm going to give it just a 25. It's got a fun gimmick. It's an amphibian with a sail.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
That is. I know some people who would happily keep it as a pet.
Oh, yeah. Well, if it was 3 feet long, well, that's a bit big for a pet.
There are people who keep iguanas, remember.
All right, well, so 25 million, that makes sense. Cool, you did all right, Platyhistrix.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at matthew@matthewdoncreator.com for any general questions to me or any of the co-hosts. You can follow me on social media at matthewdoncreator on Facebook and matthewdon64 everywhere else, including Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. I am on the TikTok train. I finally fell.
I have not gone down that rabbit hole
quick, don't do it yet. Save yourself while there's still time.
I've heard there's some good stuff on
there's some really good
TikTok.
It's not just dancing, skimply clad girls and like funny, you know, animal videos. There's more to it than that. There's like
I said, I've heard there's some good things on the crafting side of
TikTok. There's crafting
stuff.
There's science stuff. I follow some astronomy pages and some paleontology pages.
Nice.
Some cool Lego videos. Nice. It's just an all-around cool sort of thing. And also there's thirst traps, of course. But that's to be expected.
That's the internet.
The nice thing is, like, my girlfriend and I just tend to watch them together.
Ah.
Either mocking them or, like, since she's Pan, we kind of just, like, happily watch them together.
Nice.
That's great.
Nice.
Anyways. I have book series and Amazon Megazoic available for print and Kindle. No platyhistrix in it because that took place a bit before when the books took place. This animal was situated before when the books took place anyways. I also have another podcast called The Writ Wits where two twits, talked about writing because the show's currently on indefinite hiatus. I don't know if you heard about that.
I might have.
Do you have anything to plug? Or I guess not really on social media that much. Or any.
I'm not overly active on social media.
Natasha Crack remains a mystery.
Not intentionally. I do arts and crafts, so I do occasionally post pictures of what I'm working on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, also, I forgot to mention with my Megazoic books, her artwork is on the chapters, the illustrations.
Yes,
is
and
her
those
artwork.
Were a lot of fun to do.
Yes. And potentially might be redoing some for some reprints of Megazoic when I'm doing new covers.
Absolutely.
That'd be fun. Anyways, all right, that's it for this week. I'll say the end of our episode of Paleobites. I'm trying to do a ribbit. Henry really liked that. She's like, he's really concerned about that. He's like, well, what are you guys doing? Anyways, bye.